Well, good day, everybody. I wanted to finish this week with a message that I probably should have moved earlier in the week, but I wanted to end with free will. So free will is kind of a very important and relevant topic to the idea of Shema and to the heartfelt faith that people have. And I wanted to just briefly talk about it to finish up. I was reading one of Brother Fury's books, and he mentioned, I'm paraphrasing heavily here, that our ability to, the free will has to be a combination of our ability to choose and our lack of foreknowledge, or our lack of ability to know what all of the consequences of our choice will be. So because we don't know what will happen based on what we choose, our choice is one that, because we can't predict it, that we make for ourselves, that we choose it and we live with it. It's genuinely our own. God created a system where we could choose for ourselves, because what He wants is Shema. He wants that deep, heartfelt faith, genuine love that is based entirely on our own choice and our own decision. So I want to look for just a moment in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, according to them who are the called, according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." God has that foreknowledge. God has that foreknowledge. He's able to make all things work together for good. He is the one who knows it all. It's just that we don't. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 22, and in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, both of those scriptures, I'll let you look those up, both of those scriptures talk about that there are vessels for honor and for dishonor. And so God, in eternity, as He imagines His plan for the story that He wants to tell, can see in His mind's eye each and every person who has ever existed. And when He sees those people, He is able to know that they will either choose Him or not choose Him. He knew before the foundation of the world who would love Him and who would not. But we didn't know that. We didn't know that. And because we didn't know that, that gives us a genuine ability to choose. Let's read once again Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I want to put that in here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." That level of intensity, that level of front of mind, always on your mind, thinking about it, not too far from where your thoughts, wherever they are. This is what God wanted, because He wants a very close, tight, glued together connection with His people. If I take that and I combine it with John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." some people would want to say that because he said the world, that God saves everybody. That's a difficult concept, especially considering the fact that we have vessels for honor and for dishonor. But what we have between these two verses is a command with an offer. Everybody in the world has the same opportunity. Every person in the world has the same chance for salvation, for faith in God, for a loving relationship with God. Every person has been offered that, but not everybody will accept it. And that is the will of God, that each and every person should have their own free will. Now, when you go look in the Bible and you look up Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 17, verse 5, God says, "This is my beloved Son." God loved Jesus. He loved him very much. And Jesus loved him back. And how do we know that? Amongst the many scriptures that you could probably look up, the one that I point to is the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm repeating myself from earlier in the week, but that Garden of Gethsemane scene is so powerful to me, that Jesus preparing to go to the cross, knowing that he would die, it's so powerful. He was so stressed that his sweat was like blood. And in that moment, we see the true love that Jesus had for God. Because he said, I will give up my will in order for yours. Hey, God, if you could just, if it's your will to take this away so I don't have to do it, but I know that that's not the case. So I will give up my will to avoid this difficulty and take on your will, which is for me to be the savior of the world. That's a man right there. Jesus was willing to give up what he wanted in order to take on the will of the Father. What greater love? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why would he say that? He said that because that's the same message from God. God said the same thing. That if you love me, you keep my commandments. So Jesus was only modeling what he had learned from God himself. That if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's this level of obedience. What is obedience? Obedience is the willingness to give up your will in order to do the will of someone else. How important is it? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel comes in to King Saul, and he says, what is this sound that's in my ears? And Saul says, well, I kept the king and I kept these animals for sacrifice. And Samuel says, you got it all wrong, because to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Doing something that is outside God's will because you think it's the right thing is not pleasing to the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 is another example of this Shema feeling, because it says, let's turn to it and let's look at it and see if it's like, I don't quite have that one word for word, so let's get it figured out exactly right. He says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To diligently seek after God, isn't that what Jesus did? To diligently seek after the will of God, that is what he was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane, giving up his own will in order to take on the will of the Father. Jesus had a choice. Jesus had a choice
in that garden.
He could have chosen not to die. I know that's true, because when the soldiers came for him and Peter pulled out his sword and sliced off one of their ears, Jesus admonished him and said, "Hey, don't you know that if I wanted to, I could call down 10,000 legions of angels?" 10,000 legions of angels.
He could have called, but he didn't.
Instead, he gave up his own will in order to take on the will of the Father. Therefore, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in another place, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Why? God knew, looking down into the heart of Jesus, that Jesus was a man after God's own heart. That Jesus was a man willing to give up his own will in order to do the will of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'm going to read that one to you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." What is that? God loved his Son, and Jesus, willing to die on the cross in order to do the will of God, pleased God. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him. That's a real love right there. I want you to think about the opposite with Lucifer. Lucifer was given the same option and opportunity to love God, and Lucifer decided not to. Instead, read in Ezekiel, what did he want to do? He wanted to ascend to the Most High. Authentic love cannot be authentic without the option to hate. And so we see in two opposites. In Jesus, we see the authentic love that he chose to have for God by submitting himself to God's will. And the opposite in Lucifer, who chose to hate God and to subvert God's will, to pervert God's plan. Free will is a real thing. God was very, very careful to make that real, something obtainable by us. Because he wanted us to choose him for real. Not choose him because we had to, but choose him because we wanted to. And that there is Shema, a true, heartfelt faith and love for God. God bless y'all.